Evening. Hallelujah. Isn't it good, like the word that we heard, like the new man? And isn't it good we have the Bible? Because if we just would look at our experience, sometimes we would like, I don't know if that's all true, but it's the truth that tells us that it's truth. It's the word, or so that's why we come here on a Wednesday to hear the word, because we have to know what is the truth, and then it can become an experience. But sometimes today I was bit struggling while preparing, so I was like, I didn't feel the new man today too much, but I still have it because the Bible says so. So that is great. And we're getting there slowly. Like sometimes I teach the kids and the teenagers, and I think I teach to still more teenagers than adults. So maybe invite your friends. All right, so let's pray. So Father, we just thank you so much that we have a place where we can have fellowship. We have a place where we can worship. We have a place where we can hear your word. We have a place where there is your family gathered, Lord. Thank you so much. And I just pray right now that it's you who is faithful, Lord. And we want to hear of you, Father. And I just pray that you speak tonight to our hearts, that you meet us, Lord. That you help us to see you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that the first time you played that song, Found in You? Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I really like that song. It's all found in you, all found in Christ. Amen. So if you want to open your Bibles to Romans 1, last time I was up here, like 6 or 7 weeks ago, I started to teach from Romans, and we did the first verse. So today I hope I do I plan to do 3 verses, so and if we keep going like that, maybe when I'm 80 years old, we through the book of Romans. So, all right. So just quick review. Well, let's read quick the first 7 verses. So Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's interesting. First of all, so Paul is writing this book to the Romans. And as we read in the book, he never visited these people before. He never was in Rome to visit these people. So in this writing them, and most letter he starts right away like with greetings. But here these first seven verses, he doesn't greet them right away. It's like the foundation of the whole book where it's like, okay, this is what the book is going to be about. This is what this letter is about. It's like the introduction. And so we talked last week about a servant of Jesus Christ. So you know what, okay, Christ is my Lord. I'm just his servant. Or even when you translate, like, I'm a slave to Christ. Before I was a slave to my sin, but now I'm a slave to Christ. And we looked a bit how that practically looked like in Paul's life. He said he became a slave to all men. To be a slave for Christ, Christ is maybe not visible, but man is visible, and I'm a slave to them. I'm serving them so that they may know Christ. I'm not a slave to them just to make them feel good, but I want to serve them and be a slave to them to bring them to Christ. And he also, servant is like, I have a master, so I'm doing diligent work. It's not lazy. There's work to get done. So as a servant, I'm diligent in the work, and I'm humble. I know I'm an unprofitable servant. Like, it's all by the grace of God. Like, I totally depend on you. And then called to be an apostle is authority, that he was called an apostle. I believe apostles were only the men who really walked with Christ, saw him, and were called by him. I don't believe there are apostles today, really, in the narrow meaning of the word. That's where really the people who were taught directly by Christ and saw him when he was resurrected. And yet the authority, when they spoke, or we know the letters that the apostles wrote, there was authority with him. It was as the word from Christ. And then the last part, and separated unto the gospel of God. Like, just to think about Paul, who I am, my whole life, my meaning is I'm separated. My life is separate for the purpose of the gospel. That's all. Like, and I just sometimes, like, think, okay, why I'm here? My wife had a great, like, she had her biopsy done yesterday, and she had an amazing time to witness to a nurse. And the nurse really received, and just we all maybe had moments like that where you just realize, wow, that's why I'm here on this earth. That's what it's all about. And then the next day we forget about. But, I mean, just these moments where it's really like very weird. Okay, that's it. It's all for the gospel. It's all to proclaim Christ. Like, there's nothing more joyful than when I can preach the word and I see somebody's receiving it. Like, that's why we're here. And separated unto the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God. It's from all eternity. God knew that gospel. It's not a plan made up by man. Like, sometimes we're so in the church and we're so used to it that we believe this thing, but to take a step back and like, okay, God became a man. He went to a cross and there he died for my sins and then he rose again. Who would believe something like that? Or like stories from Noah in the ark and all that really happened. There was really a flood and the animals got saved. Like, to the natural mind, this is foolishness. Like, it just proves to me, wow, this is God. Like, through his spirit, through his grace, he gives me to believe in that. Like, I would never, like, just naturally believe in that. So it just shows, for me, it's an approval of, like, this is really true. Because man couldn't come up with this story. Like, God, a religion, I look at it, and yeah, with philosophy and our thinking, we could come up with that. But Christianity, the story of the gospel, man could not come up with that. It is the gospel of God. It's God made it. God proclaimed it, and God did it. So now to continue. So verse 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. So which is referring to the gospel, and then he is referring to God, which was the last word in verse 1. So God had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. So the gospel was not, okay, Christ came and now we have a new religion. Now it's something new. The gospel was already proclaimed and promised in the Old Testament. The whole Testament, everything was speaking about Christ already. Like, it was maybe the promise that they couldn't see. Like, now we have the promise of Christ's return. But it's not here yet. We don't see it. The same time in the Old Testament, they had the promise of Christ coming, but they couldn't see it yet. But the plan was already there. It was already promised. And I had, like, a fun, like, with our participants at work, we're not, like, an officially Christian organization, so we can't really talk to them too much about Christ. But one guy came in and he was like, yeah, I'm Moses. And I don't know why, but I was just, so who is Moses? Do you know about him? He was like, no. And I was like, do you want to know? Like, should I tell you a bit about him? He was like, yeah, go ahead. So I told him about Moses, the story, and he was like, oh, tell me more. And I told him about David, and I told him about Naaman. And he was just really like, for the whole day, while we were landscaping, I told him. And it was really amazing. But it just reminded me, in all these stories, like with Moses putting up the serpent of brass, it speaks of Christ. With Moses, like the Passover, like putting the blood around the doorpost, it speaks of Christ. Like David fighting a guy, Goliath, all the Israelites were afraid. They didn't fight the battle. It speaks of us, but David represents like Christ, and he won, and he gave the victory to all Israel. Like, we weren't fighting in the battle, we were afraid, but Christ came, and he represents his children, and he gave us all the victory. So it was just beautiful to, like, all this Old Testament story, how they point to Christ. Or Naaman, who wanted this big miracle, okay, Elijah, come out and give me this big sign. I just simple. Go in the river and just dip 7 times and you will be healed. Like, and for us, we're like, okay, God, like many people, when you go to, if God speaks to me, if he does a great miracle, then I will believe. No, it's just simple. You just believe. Like, there's not much that it's needed. It's just simple faith. And we know, like, also that that is true, because Christ on the people, on the two disciples, when he was walking with them at the road of Emmaus, or how you pronounce it? Emmaus, yeah. So he walked with them, and he told them, like in Luke 24, 25. So they're walking, and he's like, they don't recognize him. And so the two disciples are like, don't you know? Are you a stranger? You don't know what will happen here? And then Christ says to them in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So he refers, the prophet have spoken of all of that, that I should suffer and everything. But you are just fools and slow of heart. Ought not Christ to have suffered this thing and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the whole scriptures, the Old Testament, was concerning Christ. And he expounded, he explained it to them. And one day I wish like to just hear, that's probably the best Bible study that ever happened in the world with Christ, with these two people. Like, I wish I could have been there. And in John 5:39, he also talks to the Pharisee. They're like, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. So we have the scriptures, not just, oh, I read the scriptures to, I don't know, get a good feeling out or whatever. I read the scriptures so that I can get to know Christ more, that I know who Christ is, that I receive the life of Christ, the grace of Christ, everything. It's all in the scripture. It all testifies just of Christ. And even the New Testament, like John at the end of his gospel, like he writes about the life of Christ, all the miracles that he did. But at the end he writes, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. Like all these things are written that you believe in Christ, that you believe he is the Christ, he is the Son of God, that he died for your sins. That's why all these things are written, that you believe in him. And so, just as the scripture, as he says here, the holy scriptures, it's holy, it's set apart, the Bible is set apart from every other book in the world, because it's God's promises in here, and God is speaking. So it's holy, set apart. And I think it's a danger nowadays, and I even catch myself sometimes that we just want to come up with philosophies and our thinking. But I love, like, I don't know who he said it, but he said, just speak the Bible. Just say what the Bible says. Like, just when we go out on outreach, hey, you know what Jesus said? Like, just quote from the Bible. Because that's where the power is. That's where the power is, in the Word. And we also, at the end, actually, Jesus says in John 12:48, he that rejected me and received not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. So it's the Word, the gospel, actually, in a way that you heard it. And just I talked about a study about hell and just the one thought. Like if any here, every listening, like if we didn't receive Christ and we're going to be in hell, the thought that tortures us, it's like we're going to remember where somebody talked to me about Christ, where he showed me the way of escape. And I will remember that in that moment, I rejected it. That word will still be in my memory, and that's the torture to know, like, I had a chance, but I rejected it. And so that's a sobering thought. And I remember, like, Bill, he always said when he talked to other people, Bill Fitch, like, he was always, I can talk to you, but I just have to let you know, when I tell you this, you're going to be held accountable to what I'm telling you. And so it is sobering, but yeah, we are. We are accountable to them. So let's go on to verse number 3. So concerning his son, so what is this all about? What is the gospel about? Jesus, yeah. And I think nowadays, many times, the gospel makes you feel good. The gospel gives you, if you believe in the gospel, you're going to be rich in this world. If you believe, it's all about so many different things, but at the end, the gospel is just simply about Christ. And I said it last time when I went up here. I mean, the gospel is the person of Christ and his work. That's the gospel. And here it says, separate unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So the gospel is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I love how Paul always it's like this, wow, I talk about his Son. Wow, he is Jesus. He's the Savior. Oh, he is Christ. He's the anointed one of God, and he's my Lord. And not in a way like, as we maybe sometimes talk about our boss. Yeah, you know, my boss. But it's like, he's my Lord. Like, it's such a privilege. Like, he is my Lord. Like, in this way, and I just think as Paul is writing that, he's just like worshiping God in his heart, like concerning his Son. Wow, Jesus, like Christ, like our Lord. Like, he's writing like that. And which was made of the seed of David. And I think that's it's concerning against the promises of the Old Testament that the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for, he would come of the seed of David. He would be the king that God promised to David. His son will have an eternal throne, an eternal king. And this is like a confirmation. Yeah, the Holy Scripture, he is that king. Jesus is that king that the Old Testament is speaking about. He is it. And even the Jews, when Christ came and he died on the cross, it's like, wait. We thought he's the king. Like, I thought he's going to establish his kingdom. Like, even when he rose again, the disciples came, are you going to establish your kingdom now? Like, they were all like, that's what he's going to do. But so Paul is here again. Yeah, even that happened. And we have to understand Christ. It's a twofold. They thought it's going to happen in one time, like he will come and establish the kingdom. No, first he came to suffer and to pay for our sins as the servant. But the second time he will come as the king and reign. And that's the time we're waiting for. And so Paul makes clear, no, he is that king. And just in Jeremiah, that's prophesied, like Jeremiah 33:14. 33:14, Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Wow. So it was Christ according to the flesh. And I think, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So there is the twofold after, if we read the next verse, and declared to be the Son of God, the twofold things of Christ, his humanity and his deity. Or, so according to the flesh. And just the one thought, like we can talk so much, yeah, Christ was really human. But the humility, the perfection of God's humility, imagine the God of the universe. The God who created everything, who is Lord over everything. He humbled himself and became a baby in a womb. Like just that thought. Like only God could do that. Like if you speak about humility, like nothing compares to that. Like humility and humbleness that God would say, I do that. Like, that is amazing. So to the flesh, he was dead. He just humbled himself. And the one thing, just a side note, that we also, I think, just for theology, we have to understand that he always was Christ. He wasn't created when he became like a man. Like in Romans 8:3, he said, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of the flesh." Christ, Jesus, always existed. He always existed eternally with God the Father, but one day God sent him and he became a man. And then in verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." So here we see the distinction in verse 3. It says, "which was made." And the word "made," like, could also become, to come into existence. Like, he was made a man. He wasn't a man before. He came into existence. He was made a man. But declared to be the Son of God. He wasn't made the Son of God. It was just a declaration. He is the Son of God. He always was, and he is the Son of God. He is deity. And then according to the Spirit of holiness, there is like different arguments what the Spirit of holiness means. Does it speak of the Holy Spirit? Does it speak of just Christ's nature? I believe just with the context of Romans, like in Romans 8:11, that it speaks of the Holy Spirit. Because in Romans 8:11 it says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." So the Holy Spirit was part or was at work in the resurrection of Christ. But it was like a triune work, because the Father was at work too. In some scriptures says the Father did the work. In other scriptures says even Christ did the work. So the Trinity was involved in the work of the resurrection. But one thing of the Spirit, it's interesting, when Christ walked on this earth, like, he was fully human like we are, but he relied not on his deity. He didn't use the deity to do all his miracles and everything. He relied on the Holy Spirit to do the work that he did. Like it says, "even by the Holy Spirit I cast out the devils." Like, the Holy Spirit led me to the wilderness. He was led by the Holy Spirit. So it is encouraging for us. So like Christ relied on the Holy Spirit, that's how we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And it was from the beginning till the end. Like, the Holy Spirit was in the womb of Mary creating, like the Son, creating Jesus as a man. And the Holy Spirit was in the end helping him to raise him up from the dead again. So from the beginning till the end, the Holy Spirit was involved in the works of Christ here, the ministry. And that same Holy Spirit that enabled Christ to do his work as a human here on earth lives in us now. Like, just how much we depend on that Holy Spirit. Like, every day, it's like, I can't do it. I remember a quote from Spurgeon. Whenever they had like the old churches where there was like stairs where you had to go up to the pulpit, and he said, "every step that he took, the Holy Spirit lives within me. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit." Like, he reminded him, "I can't do that, but I have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do that." And I think that is just something that is encouraging for us, or something to encourage us to do the same. Like, every day, wow, I can't do it, but I have the Holy Spirit. God gave me the Holy Spirit. That is amazing. So the one thing, the last thing, by the resurrection from the dead. So why did Christ had to be raised from the dead? And I think from the book of Romans, we can look at many points, but just to look quick at 3 points. In Romans 4:25, it says, "who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." He was raised again for our justification. So, and it wasn't like, because he rose, we justified, because we are justified by the work that he did on the cross, but it was the stamp of approval. Like, okay, God approves. This was, He finished the work. He paid for the sins of you. He finished this. I approve of it. It was the stamp of approval when he rose him from the dead. But then also in Romans 7:4, an interesting thing, it says, wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You become dead to the law by the body of Christ. I think in Romans he gives this picture as we were also married like to the law of God. We had to almost like there was the law outside of us. We were like, okay, that's what we have to obey. We stick to that law. The law was given to us and we have to do these commandments to come to God. We were almost like in bondage to it. They think, but Christ says, no, you're dead. Like you're dead to the penalty of the law that it gave. You died to it. When Christ died, I'm co-crucified with Christ. I died with him. So as I'm dead now to the law, now I'm free to marry somebody else. Now I'm free to be married to Christ. Now I can be married to Christ, and my marriage to Christ produces the good fruit that it says. So the resurrection of Christ made it available that we can be married to him and have the good fruit with that fellowship with him. And the last, or one more part actually, which we're not going to read, but he makes intercession for us. As we're all familiar, he rose, he makes intercession. But the one point that also really speaks to me, he rose, he's alive. Or are we all still awake? I feel like I'm just talking and talking. A lot of theology and anyway. Praise God, whatever. We're preaching his word, or whatever. So, or do we have to stand up and move a bit? Katie said yes. So, Katie's going to stand up and give us all one move that we should do to be awake. Yeah. We have to wake up a bit, or my voice is a bit monotone, so. I'm doing it. Maybe it helped a little bit. I don't know. That's what I have to do Zoom with the people I serve from home. And so we do a lot of exercise and they do like the funny one mic walk. And so my wife walks in the room in the office and I'm doing like that exercises. So it's kind of, yeah, pretty funny. So back to the word. Okay. So God was raised, or Christ was raised from the dead, and he is seated on the throne of God. And one thing why he was raised, in Romans 2:16 it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So a part of the gospel, yeah, Christ died for our sins. Yeah, he was buried, he rose again. But he's on the throne now and he will judge all men. The judgment is given to the Son. And he will judge, here it says, the secrets of men. God knows what is in our heart. God knows the motivation of all our heart. We maybe can fool other men. We maybe even sometimes can fool ourselves, which we can be pretty good at. But before God, he knows the secret and we will all. But we will all stand one day before Christ. We will all stand there one day. And there is no excuses anymore. I can't like say, like Adam did, yeah, you gave me the woman, or it was Satan's fault or whatever. No. God knows. No. How did you respond it? What is your heart? And so, like in Romans 14:12, like Paul is really stressing, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm not going to be there with my kids. I'm not going to be there and say like, hey, pastor, get me out of that. Can't call him anymore when I'm in trouble. Just going to give account of myself before Christ. And that's just something to consider. He rose again, and now it says he declared to be the Son of God with power. Like first, he came with the greatest humility, like we said, the Son of God becoming a man, a baby in a womb. But now he's the risen king, like he is reigning now. And now, as great as that humility was that he showed, now as great is the power that he can show. All authority has been given unto him. All authority. And he has given the power of judgment. He is going to be the one who's going to send people to hell for eternity and going to be tormented forever. And that's like, why would God even do something like that? But lean not on your own understanding, but trust in him. And he knows, like his holiness is so much greater than we can imagine. Like one sin against him, wow, would deserve hell. And like every sin, actually, that we ever commit has to be judged. That he's a righteous judge. Every sin that we ever commit has to be judged that he's righteous. Now think about it. Just today, the 50 or I don't know how many sins I committed should be judged. Severely judged because I sinned against a holy, perfect God. But all of these sins Christ took upon his body to pay for it. It was judged on Christ. Wow, and if you neglect such a great salvation, we cannot neglect such a great salvation. Because the gospel, why Paul is so like, he starts this book and like, it's all about the gospel, it's all about Christ. Because there is no other way. You guys have to see the Old Testament. My authority is not myself. My authority is from the Bible. The Bible says it. It's all about Christ. And he is the only way. He is the Messiah that you were waiting for. He is the one who came to pay for all your sin. He is the one who's going to judge at the end. He's going to do it all. And you have to be right with him. I don't care if, I mean, yes, he cares. But at the end, it's not so much about other people. If you're not right with Christ, you can be right with everybody else. But at the end, that's not going to save you. We have to be really right before Christ. And he's not going to judge us and going to send us because of our works. Like as believers, if we really put our trust in Christ, we don't have to worry anymore. We know the perfect work of Christ brought us to heaven. We trust completely in that. But still, it says our works that we do here will still be judged. Some of them will be burned, and some of them will test. Like we'll approve the test of fire or we'll go through it and stand the test. So just of that, always think about that. Okay, it has to be about Christ because it's so easily like Pastor Love, when he was last time here, spoke about how we can lose the focus. Okay, that day is coming where we're going to stand before Christ. And again, not in like, oh, wow, he's going to be a hard taskmaster. Like, oh, I better, like the one guy, I better hide my penny, everything that God gave me. I don't want to do anything wrong with it. But just like motivated to look at him and like, wow, look how he humbled himself. Look how much he loved me. Look, he gave me himself. He gave me the Spirit. Like he, by the Spirit, the love of God is poured out in our heart. Like, oh, wow, I love him. I want to serve him. I want to live for you. And God, you know how I'm prone to wander. Keep me. Keep me to walk with you. So and just for application quick at the end. And this is not from me. I heard that somewhere. So because it's always a message. So how do we apply that? And I heard that, I think, 2 weeks ago, and it really stuck with me, the 5F. So it's easier to remember, 5F. So the first F is faith. Our faith, our trust in this Christ that the gospel is preaching about, just put our whole trust completely in Christ. I don't trust myself. I don't trust anything. I just put my trust in Christ. I put my whole trust in Christ. And the second F goes similar with it, I forsake. I forsake everything else. Like Paul said, I count it all rubbish that I may know Christ. I forsake. But these are things that we daily have to do. We are called to do this work every day. We are called to walk by faith, to put our trust in Christ. Every day we are called to forsake the ways of the world, to forsake our old ways, as Josh brought out, our old man. We forsake it. And every day we have to remind ourselves of that. Then the third F, follow. Like, how do we call Christ? It's not just like the spiritual thing where I just sit there and spiritualize everything. It's practical. I just follow his commands, carry one another's burden. I take care of the body of Christ where I can help. I use the gifts that God gave me. I go and speak with others about Christ. I take care maybe of my family. Like even like changing a diaper can be done for the glory of Christ. Like small things, but I just do it for him. I follow his commands. I forgive others. If there is still hardness in my heart against somebody else, no, I have to follow. Christ calls me to forgive. I forgive them. So I follow. That's a way how I practice it. And then the fourth F, it's faithful, like loyal. Like I'm as a man, I'm called to be loyal to my wife. I'm called to be loyal and faithful to my children and take care of them. But my one first loyalty and faithfulness is to Jesus Christ. Like as Paul said, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm loyal to him above all. And we all know the stories of faithful men who believed in Christ and walked, and then where are they now? They turned away. And it can happen to all of us. It so easily can. So that's why we all know I want to be loyal to you. I don't want to deny you. And again, it's not our strength, it's his power, but we still have to say, I'm available, I need you, I seek you. Like it says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock. There's still an action we have to do to really seek him. And then the last F is fellowship. I abide in Christ. I speak with Christ. I have fellowship with him in the word. I have fellowship with him through prayer. I'm just in communion with Christ. I love him. Again, like a wife, how can the marriage get better when we have fellowship together? We talk together, we have time. So the same with Christ. I need that time of fellowship with him. So just these five F's to consider. So that's it. That's the gospel. In the Old Testament promised, and it is concerning Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to preach. And that's who we want to live for. And we need your help, God. But we just praise you, Lord. We just thank you so much. And I just pray, Father, that help us to just love you more. Help us to just proclaim your truth, Father. Help us to just see ourselves as servants of you, Father, servants of Christ. Thank you. Help us to love your word, Father, to just help us to grow in our understanding of it. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you. We thank you for what you did for us, Lord. And just if any of us, Lord, we can come to church all the time, but if any of us is not right with you, Father, I just pray that you by your Spirit move and show clearly, even somebody listening, one person I have to be right with is Christ, first and foremost. And I only can be right with him to just believe, simply believe that Jesus is God, that he came as a man to this earth and died for my sins on the cross, and that he rose again, and that he is reigning now on the throne. And he will be the only one who can judge me. But if I put my trust in what he did, wow, I'm not under the wrath of God anymore. It passed all over me. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm beloved of God. Thank you. If you didn't make that decision, just do that decision with Christ now. Make business with God. Because one day you're going to stand before him. And we who made that decision, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your salvation that you gave us and use our lives for your glory. Amen.